This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2044. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. Above all, the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded July 23rd, Antarctica, China, Colombia, Cuba, Ethiopia, Germany, Guyana, India, Korea South, Mexico, North America, Philippines, Scotland, Turkey, USA, and the Propagation Outlook.
Standard disclaimer from Adrian Corol of RAI in Buenos Aires via Horacio Nero in Uruguay. A reminder of another test from LRA 36 Antarctica for Saturday, July 25th, between 17 and 20 UT on 15476 USB. I heard it the previous Saturday, July 18th, via remote in Brazil with sufficient reception, actually on 15475.98 USB with reduced carrier. It was supposed to start at 17 UT, but it was already on the air when I tuned in at 16:37. And on that date, it was supposed to last until 23 UT, but it was already off sometime between 18 and 18:30. So far, no further word of any more Saturday tests in August. The one I heard was actually, obviously, a repeat of the regular Wednesday broadcast, which I assume will be continuing, between 14 and 16 UT, approximately. From Asilomar State Beach, California, more from Ron Howard about the CNR-17 service to what he reported last week. It's on 9630 and 11630. That is the 17th service of China National Radio in their domestic lineup. On Saturday, July 18th, heard from 1229 to 1259. They have a half-hour language lesson on weekends. Previous week it was in English, but this time it was in Russian. This was just before his local sunrise. He says CNR-17, which officially started in January of 2015, was formerly known as Kazakh Radio, and now broadcast to the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region, XUAR, in northwest China, from a site located in Lingxi County. That is a county-level division under the jurisdiction of Jinzhong Municipality in Shanxi Province, China. If you detect an off-frequency hit from a carrier well below 1310 kHz, here's what it could be, says Terry Kruger in Niceville, Florida. Colombia. Voz Patria Celestial in Barranquilla, Atlantico, measured on 1309.678 at 0944 July 11th, presumed to be this anyway, mostly just a big head against 1310 stations with some weak pieces of Spanish, probably gospel vocals, thanks to a tip from David Crawford. He had heard it 13 months earlier from his previous location in Florida, Clearwater. Something's always wrong at Radio Cuba. The relay of CRA in Chinese-ish, which is really Cantonese, none dare call it Hong Kongese, 9790 at 04 to 05 UT, was heard July 18th at 0439, a huge signal 40 to 50 over S9, but on its own channel it was suppressed and distorted modulation, instead splashing and splattering out as far as 9770, 20 kHz below, QRMing Turkey, and up to 9805 versus Cuba's own jamming against nothing. Please, we need to hear jamming in the clear. Meanwhile, I've continued to hear extremely distorted spur blobs out of the 11670 Radio Havana Cuba transmitter before and after 01 UT on July 20th, 21st, and 22nd. The displacement of the spurs has varied from one day to the next, like 43 kHz or 42 kHz, or 41 kHz. That is as low as 11584 or as high as 11799. When they were at 43 kHz steps, that put it uncomfortably close to an Havana fundamental on 11800, interfering with itself, and also too close to 11760. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana Cuba. On 6090, July 21st at 0252, I found an open carrier up to 20 over 9, but there was a high storm noise level. and then a nice 8-note chime interval signal played, starting at 0257. That was Radio Amhara, a regional Ethiopian service. And thank you, PMS, for keeping Anguilla silent on 6090. We can hear it more clearly, along with countless other clips of interval signals from Ethiopia and everywhere, at David Koenig's excellent site, intervalsignals.net. By the way, there's a good article on the current situation in Ethiopia by Ian Bremmer in the latest issue of Time magazine. Further, by the way, a new season of Ian Bremmer's TV series G-Zero World has just started on PBS. It's an entertaining and informative look at items in the news. More about it at his website, gzeromedia.com. Ivo Ivanov, Bulgaria, says Channel 292 in Germany begins broadcasting on 9670 from August 1st. It's not registered in the A20 HFCC database, but from August until September 4th, this apparently replaces 7440, and I suppose they will continue on their original frequency with more or less different programming, 6070. Ivo presents a detailed day-by-day schedule in August of all the programming supposed to appear on 9670, non-directional with 10 kilowatts. Many familiar programs from Europe and North America. More about that later. DJ Jan Hendrik of Skyline Radio Germany informs us from his P.O. Box in the Netherlands about another broadcast via Germany. He says, the hallmark of quality is back again. Some brand new shows on shortwaveradio.de via transmitters in northern Germany. Saturday, July 25th at 16 to 22 UT on 3975 and possibly 6160. EQSL cards are offered, and he welcomes reports via software-defined radio remotes. Reports to Skyline Radio Germany at web.de. Mike Terry forwards this from mediumwave.info. Guyana's President David Granger says his administration rejected a request by the United States to use medium-wave radio frequencies of Guyana to broadcast VOA programs to Venezuela. That appeared in DemeraraWaves.com of July 17th. WRTH shows the only active medium-wave frequency from Guyana is 560 kHz, 10 kilowatts in Georgetown. The story goes on to explain that Mr. Granger said Guyana turned down the request because of security, health, and political risks that Guyana would expose itself to with Venezuela, which is claiming the Essequibo region that makes up about two-thirds of the former British colony. This request was originally back around April 1st, but a U.S. embassy spokesman says the American government is no longer interested in the project. I pointed out that VOA does not even broadcast in Spanish. Well, not on shortwave or mediumwave, but they do online and even have a special Venezuelan section. voanoticias.com/Venezuela. Kailovic says they took it off shortwave in 2004, since there's so little shortwave listening in Venezuela. I also suggested that maybe TWR Bonaire would be more amenable and closer to Caracas for medium-wave broadcasts. Kailovic says, in August 2017, there was a series of tests with Radio Miami International and MGLOB, the Radio Nederland former relay site in Madagascar. They asked for help in assessing how well 800 kHz covers Venezuela, but refused to give even the slightest hint at the potential customer. How about the former major shortwave relay facility in French Guiana? Wolfgang Büschel says the facility just right for the U.S. Trump radio efforts, but Kai Ludwig says this should make little difference after 7 years. They said it would close down, and not to be expected that any further maintenance was done after the last transmission. Besides, it was on shortwave only. And this is not the point. Shortwave transmissions to Venezuela could simply be run from Greenville. But merely shortwave, for which no audience exists in Venezuela anymore. 11560, 500 kilowatts from Bengaluru, seems to be an increasingly active frequency for All India Radio. July 21st at 02:13, I was hearing their wonderful interval signal, and then opening an unknown language at 2:15, scheduled formerly as Pashto, and no doubt, once again. According to Joe Jacob on another frequency, the Tamil service was reactivated but then went off the air again, and now the Farsi service has returned to the air as of July 18th. Hans-Jürg Wiener says the General Overseas Service in English is still off the air. Maybe SWLs should submit reception reports about the news at 9, which is no longer at local time 9, but at 8:30. That is 15 to 15:30 UT on 11560, to show that there is still an audience for English shortwave broadcasts from All India Radio. This was monitored July 18th by Richard Langley with a remote receiver in Holland. English news at 15 to 15:30 on 11560. It's announced as the evening news and not news at 9 anymore, since it starts at 20:30 Indian Standard Time. The program is the same as the one available on the website newsonair.gov.in/international-news. Is it from the domestic network? There was extensive coverage of the pandemic in India, much more interesting than the news programming normally carried on the GOS when it was broadcast. Reception was quite good via the remote in Holland, but the modulation was a little off. Rob Wilson in Scotland replies, yes, from the domestic network. They broadcast 3 English news bulletins per day at local time, 8 a.m., the midday news at 2 p.m., and the evening news at 8:30. There are also several regional news bulletins in English available on the AIR News website under Regional Radio. On Echo of Hope, south to North Korea, which was on 9105, Saturday, July 18th, Ron Howard reports the English language lesson, scheduled at 11:30 to 12 UT. I find these rather entertaining, as the Korean woman announcer often gets comically excited and has a unique accent. Also, VOH with another edition of Touch Global Headlines in English was heard at 09:35, also in Korean. Good reception as usual. I find the news items to be fairly detailed and mostly interesting. However, Amano in Japan says the Touch Global Headlines on July 18th, Saturday, was originally broadcast on EBS FM Tuesday, July 7th. Dr. Hans-Jürg Wiener in Germany replies about Echo of Hope's English segment at 13:30, Ron Howard hears, on 9105. Can't hear it then in Europe, but it's on a 4-hour repeat cycle, and he did hear it at 17:30 UT on 9105, starting with news headlines in English, translated sentence by sentence into Korean. Then at 17:35, news in detail, translated from English to Korean by paragraphs, and after 17:50 in Korean only. Of course, that frequency jumps around up or down 5 kilohertz from 9100 from one week to the next. KAAY in Little Rock, Arkansas, 1090 is back to its old tricks, broadcasting 5 minutes of dead air at 0600 UT. They were doing this many months ago, but I've just run across it again, July 21st and 22nd. The main station I could hear during this period by also nulling the signal from Little Rock was XEAU in Monterrey, Nuevo León. Something in Spanish, but they tend to play music in English at this time. And they mentioned Milenio.com, which is one of their network affiliations. I heard them say that on July 23rd. WRTH has issued another A20 update, a free PDF available on their website, wrth.com. Here's one item about the Netherlands, a new entry, Radio Piepzender. That's P-I-E-P-Z-E-N-D-E-R. Their schedule shows a daily broadcast at 16 to 24 UT on 3920 via their transmitter site in Zwolle, Z-W-O-L-L-E, with 200 watts. The times and days, however, are variable and the tests irregular. They do plan a frequency in the 31 or 49 meter band for daytime transmissions. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2044. Also bringing you the non-commercial website worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Richard Langley in New Brunswick, who sent a contribution via PayPal to woradio@yahoo.com. One may also contribute by check or money order in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. North America, non. I heard the special broadcast from Texas Radio Shortwave via Channel 292 Germany, Saturday, July 18th, between 18 and 19 UT via the remote in Holland, on 6070. They played the Yellow Rose of Texas 3 times, the opening and closing as their theme, and another version in between, and many other Texas, or Cowboy Tune. Quite an enjoyable program. I filed an extremely detailed report and got a nice EQSL. I was going to hold the following till it's a bit more imminent, but also applying to Texas Radio Shortwave and our previous item about Channel 292 activating 9670 kHz in August. TRSW has a broadcast scheduled there on the third Saturday, UT Saturday that is, August 15th at 0200 or 9670 with 10 kilowatts, intending to serve North American listeners. This is in addition to their regular third Saturday broadcast at 0900 on 6070. North America Non-Non, Antichrist Pirate YHWH reported again on 7470. Tribalt Somony, Victoria, B.C., UT, July 18th at 0404. He says after an absence for the last week or two, a strong signal but pitiful modulation. And heard at the same time by Rick Barton in Arizona on a noisy channel. Ivo Ivanov, Bulgaria, caught a U.S. AGM transmitter 1 kHz off frequency, carrying the VOA Khmer service from Tanang, Philippines, July 17th at 1330 on 9614, parallel to correct 11695, but from 1355 they corrected the other one to 9615. Tony Curry of Radio 6 International in Glasgow, Scotland, notifies us of more shortwave broadcasts. Following successful live broadcast on 6070 in early June and July, Radio 6 International will continue monthly broadcasts, next to be Saturday, August 1st from 22 to 24 UT on 6070 from Rohrbach, Germany, with 10 kilowatts. He says, we've issued a good many QSL cards, both electronic and cardboard, since the June broadcast and are happy to continue. E-cards will be emailed free of charge, but request a U.S. dollar or euro as a contribution to return postage for hard copy cards. Email is letters@radiosix.com. P-mail Radio 6 International, 21 Sherbrooke Avenue, like the city in Quebec, Glasgow G414HF. Scotland. And he says our intention is for the September broadcast to air on the 5th at the same time and frequency. And Mike Terry forwards a copy of an interview with Tony Curry of Radio 6 International in the July 21st issue of Radio World. Before resuming shortwave, Radio 6 International has been quite active on other media. If Voice of Turkey manages to be on the air, it's certainly worth listening to their weekly Letterbox program, starting about 15 minutes into their Wednesday broadcast and repeated on Saturdays, and also both into the next UT day, such as the North American service at 2200 on 9830. On July 22nd, I listened to the whole thing. The host complained about the unusual heat in Ankara, even though it snowed there in last August, and then he had a very personal item about his longtime friend in Malaysia, an ethnic Chinese person at 64, although a non-smoker, has lung cancer and is in the ICU. The doctor answered his call, but a friend could not respond, and he asked us to pray for him. And it caused the host to cry, which he says he does quite a lot. This occupied the first 5 minutes, and then the rest of the program, acknowledging letters and reports from listeners. I'm always happy when I recognize at least one of them, and this time I recognized two. Konstantin Barsinkov in St. Petersburg, whom I've been in contact with, and Alan Willey in Newfoundland, best known as the Ace Medium Wave DXer. Who is this host of Letterbox, anyway? It's hard to catch his name when he mentions it, but Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight told us all about him last November. Halibrahim Sarakaya. I'll spell it H-A-L-I-B-R-A-H-I-M. Surname S-A-R-I-K-A-Y-A, but that I has no dot on it. This week's news stemming from Trump's purge of the U.S. Agency for Global Media, a story from Politico.com, via Eric S-O-G-G-E, appeals court blocks Trump's appointees' takeover of web nonprofit, by Josh Gerstein and Daniel Littman on July 21st. A federal appeals court has blocked a bid by Trump's appointee take over the government-funded nonprofit that fosters technology aimed at undermining internet censorship around the globe. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit issued an order preventing USAGM CEO Michael Peck from installing a hand-picked board to replace the previously existing leadership of the Open Technology Fund. In the new appeals court order, the judges from the D.C. Circuit said Peck appeared to lack the same authority over the Internet-focused nonprofit that he enjoys over the other federally funded international media organizations. OTF is not a broadcaster and is not sufficiently similar to the broadcast entities expressly listed in the law at issue to fit with the statutory text, said the court's unsigned order. Deepak Gupta, a lawyer for the OTF board members challenging their ouster, welcomed the decision. Over the past few weeks, Peck and his agents have tried to install an acting CEO for OTF, have tried to gain entry into OTF's office space, and even tried to force OTF's landlord to turn over control of its lease, Gupta said. This doesn't just harm OTF and the people who work there. OTF works to advance Internet freedom in repressive regimes around the world, and Peck's actions have put the safety of activists and journalists in places like Tehran and Hong Kong at risk. July 22nd at 01:16, I found WEWN English finally back on the air on 9385. After missing some 18 days, it was first noted absent on July 4th. Now seemed to be stronger than before, maybe refurbished. The other English frequency in the afternoon, 15610, was also just barely audible when it came on the air at 18:58. Strange happenings at WWCR number 4, July 20th at midnight 29 UT. 5890 was on the air with Brother Hysterical instead of where it's scheduled to be at midnight to 02:07520. And then July 21st at 02:10, 5890 was putting out spurs or buzz peaks about 4 kHz above and below during the Truth House Ministries program. Larryville in Maryland found 4980 on the air July 17th at 10:22 with nonstop mellow classical or other instrumental music and a fair signal, still there at 11:07 but gone after 1200. Presumably WRMI testing, perhaps with more than an exciter. And Larry Bell has also circulated what he calls a cook watch, that's K-O-O-K, the strange things he's heard, not only on shortwave, but medium wave and FM. I'll just quote a few of them. On July 5th, Sunday, WTWW came on 9475 as early as 1453 with the award-winning open carrier dead air format, and remained so at least past 1622. But by 1832, someone apparently woke up at the station and put on Scriptures for America, which he spells with three K's, hosted by long-dead venomous racist Pastor Pete Peters. July 8th at 1345 on 7570, Supreme Master TV, Bizarro Cult, spends several minutes every hour telling listeners how to receive their programming via dozens and dozens of Internet, radio, cable, satellite, extraterrestrial, and galactic sources. July 17th at 10:30 on 5935, WWCR with Reverend Barbie droning on and on about some kind of religion-related topic. Difficult to understand what the hell she's talking about, and it does not seem to be related to anything in the Bible. Also WWCR, July 17th at 12:39 on 7490, a crazy person on the phone talking about vaccine conspiracy theories and many others. But wait, God's not going to leave us defenseless. Buy nano silver. And then he starts a long sales pitch for colloidal silver products. He doesn't say that drinking a lot of that silver crap will turn you into a smurf. That is the condition known as argyria, a permanent blue-gray discoloration of the skin. IBOC, digital hash noise from WSCR 670 Chicago, had been missing for several months, but it was back. July 18th around 0500, those peaks around 657 and 683 kilohertz, as is the case, 13 kilohertz above and below the nominal frequency. Terry Kruger in Florida reports on 1010 kilohertz, WMOX, Meridian, Mississippi, July 18th around 1200 UT with commercials, and News Radio 1010, WMOX. But it's not listed in the new NRC AM log. And the wiki entry says the FCC deleted the license in 2020, nor is it in the database for the FCC. So, is it behind on updating? Bill Hale, NRC editor, contacted the FCC's Dale Bickle, who responded, "As best I can tell at the moment, WMOX appears to be operating without authority from the FCC, so Terry says it's a presumed pirate." On 1680, WPRR, Public Reality Radio in Ada, Michigan, near Grand Rapids, had been reported off the air. However, July 20th at 0612, I had a dead-air open carrier from that direction versus Monroe, Louisiana, KRJO, from the southeast. So it was probably still on the air, but no modulation. And Michiganders agree. Ken Zicke forwards news from Jack Amilar near the station that he also heard it previously with a carrier still on 1680. Continuing last week's discussion about whether on-the-air television and radio are obsolete, an IRCA Russ Edmonds near Philadelphia says, "Just as channel spacing is aggressive, that is partly arising from the FCC's inability to understand that on-the-air is no longer decreasing. Cable companies bled everything they could, but increasing. In order to cram the channels closer geographically and to compress the spectrum, they also allocated lower powers than were necessary to support digital TV. You want to watch off the air? Now you have to have either a batch of aluminum on the attic or back on the roof." Doug Brown in Ontario replies to Carl Zuck's comments, "Even if he believes his dire prediction, why is he so gleeful about it? Radio is here to stay. It's cheap, it's portable, and it doesn't require any special skills to operate. Internet streaming is no more like real radio than intravenous feeding is like fine dining." And Zicke replies to that, "Sadly enough, Carl is not completely wrong. There is a generation of kids, under 30, living in developed areas who almost never view on-the-air television or even cable, and who only know streaming. The idea of scheduling a time to watch or listen to something specific is alien to them. What do you mean I can't get it any time I want? I just think he and those who think like that are misguided. These are the same people who are surprised when seasonal foods are not available year-round." Paul S. in Connecticut says, "I do not like 10 shopping channels on my basic cable subscription. AM radio as we know it is gone. Network and non-human stations on the rise with repeaters. I don't get the FM sub-channel business. It's useless. It's rather rare that anyone points a transmitter at the USA, and those we point to the world are religious, a radical wing free thought for the sake of an audience. Streaming services are not in any way prepared for the general masses. Tune into C-SPAN. Even the reps and senators are having difficulty maintaining a connection, and that's the legal business of the USA. Make the entire spectrum 200 to 900 megahertz wireless public video channels. Streaming can become localized or repeated. 35 megahertz per channel is sufficient bandwidth. Let the cellular internet network thrive from 1 to 5 gigahertz. This ridiculous 5G stuff in the millimeter band is just foolhardy. Signals cannot penetrate a wall, and we need towers every kilometer on a good day. Until the glass fiber reaches my modem and router, things will get worse as copper corrodes over the 65 years it's been around, with no maintenance to the insulators on those power poles." The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder issued July 20th. Geomagnetic activity, mostly quiet, peaking at unsettled on August 1st with A and K indices of 10 and 3. Solar flux declining from 69 to 68 on August 2nd. And so concludes World of Radio 2044. I hope you found it informative. Glenn Hauser here, inviting you to hear me again next week when I conclude with a standard disclaimer.